Hey there, friends and foes. This is Johnny with Back of the Cereal Box, a pop culture podcast that celebrates the fun of the Saturday experience of our youth. But we can't think of a better way to start your week than checking out Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown. It is the best way to start your week. We absolutely love it and never miss it. Thanks, Chris and Amanda, for all you do. And until the next time, love you, mean it. We'll catch you on the back of the cereal box. I'm Johnny. I'm done. Ta-da!
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown, your weekly musical throwdown show. I am Chris, and that is Amanda, the ever sunny, the ever amazing, that girl, Amanda Sharp.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone who is watching us live right now. We're so happy you could join us with us and start your week off with some musical throwdowns, whatever you want to call them. We're happy you guys could be with us here today. So as always, please feel free to play along with us live here as we go. Drop the comments, have some fun, razz us. Rate the songs along with us. We love to hear from you. And for all of you joining us on either the on-demand version, which is on YouTube, or on the go, anywhere you get podcasts, we are so happy that you have chosen to spend a little bit of your precious time here with us here at Song Swap Showdown. How the show typically works, if this is your first time checking us out, is Amanda and I each swap three songs with each other that we don't think, or sometimes we think, I don't know, it depends. Sometimes we have or we haven't heard the songs before. Mm-hmm. We do our best, right? So sometimes we've heard the songs, sometimes we haven't heard the songs, but then we rate those songs on a scale of 1 to 5 records, with 1 being a hard pass of a song. That's right.
Thumbs down.
Skip.
Yep.
Skip it. All the way up to 5 records, which is heavenly music to our ears.
Wonderful.
The Eternity Playlist.
Yes, it is.
It's like a spa. It's like a spa day. Ooh. Mother's Day spa day. Mm.
Just would you just listen to that?
So tranquil. Amazing. So we picked the songs, by the way. How do you guys pick the songs? Well, we picked the songs by spinning the wheel of themes at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. And whatever that lands on is how we pick the songs. Mm-hmm. So the wheel last week landed on a theme that we've explored here before at Song Swap Showdown. However, it is pretty timeless because there is no shortage of these types of songs. Amanda, what is today's theme?
Today's theme, this wheel spoke and we listened, and it is One Hit Wonders. And this is, I think, a segment 2 of One Hit Wonders. And I tell you what, there are a lot of one-hit wonders in this world. So to choose down, channel it down to 3 apiece, woo, that's hard, Chris.
Yeah, that is pretty difficult because there is definitely no shortage of one-hit wonders. I mean, you could go all the way back to recorded music history. Yes. I know a lot of times it's very much based on the charts, which is sort of like where you go. Like, it's that song you hear everywhere for, like, it seems like, months, maybe a year, and then that artist or the band is just like never heard from again.
It's
just
so
gone. Poof.
It makes me wonder, because I think oftentimes in business, people just get lucky to start and they fall into this great luck, and that doesn't allow them to acquire the skills needed to stay successful. So I almost wonder if that one hit wonder is almost such a, you know, like shoot to the top, that they just never met the other things and received the other things and learned the other things that they needed to stay relevant in this business or with them, and the momentum, the endurance. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Cause like it's often.
Yeah. I mean, you hear music history is littered with stories of bands that, or artists that had an unsuspecting hit And most times you find out it was something that was written at the last second or inspired by something like, say, they didn't even think it was going to be a hit. And boom, to the top of the charts it goes. It's the song everybody can't get out of their head, and they can never replicate that success, which, you know, that's why it's so hard to have a huge hit song. It's not easy to write hit songs, like hit mega hit songs. And you never hear from these artists again, or, you know, they pack it in. Like some artists just, I love the movie That Thing You Do, one of my favorite movies of all time. And honestly, that movie I think is fantastic. That shows you sort of the rise and the fall of a band that has the one hit wonder, The Wonders, and ultimately, you know, the band, spoiler alert, the band breaks up at the end, but you kind of see where everybody, like, but it's so, the music history has got tons and tons of that kind of happening over and over again. And sometimes too, like, the band or the artist has the hit, doesn't mean they stopped making music. Like, many artists have gone on and had extremely successful careers. It's just they never were able to crack that that top 20 or that top 10. Like, they never had that monster viral hit, you know, like that they had. And, you know, history's littered with these amazing songs that just, you know, doesn't mean the artist stopped. It's just they never were able to match the success of that first song or the song that broke, you know. Sometimes it's not even the band's first song. Like, there are bands that have been around or artists that have been around for a few years before they just had that one breakthrough hit. So that's what we're exploring here today. There's definitely no shortage. And, you know, we our community is so great. Everybody kind of weighed in and gave us their picks, as they always do. And so many good, good picks. And we'll go through some of those as well. Before we get started, though, we do have some comments in here. Ian from Australia saying, I hope Amanda had a great Mother's Day.
I did.
The day after Mother's Day. So, yes, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Wherever you may be, wherever you're listening to us, we appreciate all the mothers.
Absolutely. And I'll say, since everyone loves when I talk about food, we found this out, right, Chris?
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I have a couple admirers on the YouTube that admire my talking of food. So I'll talk about what I ate because I love food. And to yesterday for Mother's Day, Marcus barbecued me jalapeno brats, like jalapeno and cheddar brats. And, you know, let's talk about the bun to brat or bun to hot dog ratio. It's never right.
It's never right. It's never correct.
The dog is too big, like the Costco one, much bigger than the bun, right?
Much bigger than the bun.
Or the dog or the brat is much smaller than the bun. So I found myself in a predicament yesterday that my brats were not as big as the bun. So I cut them in half. And this girl right here,
that girl
downed two brats. But the thing is, I cut one in half, so it was really three, but I only put them on two buns. So it was like I only ate two, even though I really consumed three cheddar jalapeno brats. Delicious. That's the science of Amanda's Mother's Day feast.
I like the science of that. You know what? Now, I like, you know, especially when it comes like dogs and brats, like I like to load it up a bit, like especially kraut or any condiments. And then, you know, hot dogs too, like, you know, like to go with the all the way dog sometimes, you know. So then I don't mind the ratio because then it gives me room, right? Because I can't stand when there isn't enough room and you want to put the extra stuff on it. And then it's too messy.
Gotta eat it with a fork.
And it's not whole. Yeah. And it's like, you really shouldn't eat it with a fork. Like, it's, you know, like. Right. So I don't mind the room, but I do agree that sometimes the ratio is way off and it's not a great experience.
No.
I like your science.
Thank you. And there were even some Dr. Pepper baked beans that I tried.
Ooh, Dr. Pepper baked beans.
Put them on that brat too. And Marcus said, that ain't right. And I said, who's the judge?
It's who's my holiday. The judge here?
Who's the judge? It was my holiday.
This is my day. I'll do what I want.
That's right. So that's the science behind my bra eating.
I do what I want. Dave Mattingly checking in with Good Morning Music Mixers.
Good morning, Dave.
Look, Dave's got like names for us every week. I know. I love it. We should actually, Dave, somehow, if you have them all saved, you should absolutely just send them all to us so I put them somewhere and be like, all the nicknames Dave has for us.
I know. He's our own AI.
Could put them on a shirt. the Dave Mattingly shirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So, all right. So listen, we got a lot of music. We got six tracks selected for you guys today that we are going to discuss and rate on a scale of 1 to 5 records. I can't wait. And we'll let you guys know if they were a pass or a play. And you let us know if you're listening and to us live. Let us know what you guys think of the songs we're going to be discussing here. And of course, if you are catching this on demand, we still want to hear from you. Drop your comments in the comment section. If you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, we'd love to hear from you. And usually what we'll try to do too is we usually put a little poll on Spotify as well, because Spotify is the poll. So if you are listening on the go and you're on Spotify, have fun. Let us know what you think in the poll. We'll have that in there as well. Yeah. Amanda, yes. Let's dig in.
Let's do
Who is going first today?
I think I'd like to go first with your first song to me.
All righty.
I feel like of all the songs, this one might be the most one-hit wonder-ish. In fact, I didn't even know that it was actually a one-hit wonder, to be honest.
Interesting.
And what song am I talking about? Closing Time by, is it Semisonic?
Semisonic.
Semisonic. See, I even screwed that up a little bit. But I really did not know in all my years of hearing this song, know that it was a one-hit wonder. I had no idea.
Yeah, Semisonic. This is another great example of a band that was around for a little bit, and they're still, you know, as far as I know, they're still actually pretty active. And they had other songs, but this was the song that just, for when it came out, it was everywhere. I mean, this was released in 1998, charted number 11 in the United States and number 25 in the UK, and just was and still to this day. Yes, you pretty much can't go to a bar in America and probably some places in the world. I don't know. Ian, you're in Australia. Maybe you can confirm this. This song is still played usually at the end of the night. Somebody plays it and some cover band will play it. Closing Time. It's one of these songs and it just, was a one-hit wonder in the sense that it's the band's biggest breakout hit.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've dissected what it takes to have a hit before. And I think this is one of those examples that it hit that right check mark, that it had a very specific reason to play it at a certain time. Mm-hmm. Kind of like some songs just go to sporting events really well. Some go to weddings really well, just that type of stuff. So when you digest this and kind of listen to it, it does hit that one hit wonder mark, big hit mark. I'm saddened that they couldn't ever duplicate the success of this, though, for that band.
Yeah, but you know what? I will say, though, that once again, they've had a really good career. And for them, once again, too, another, like when you write a one hit wonder, too, a lot of times, like the financial rewards of having that song really do keep things going. And
that's so true.
For them, with this song, I mean, beyond being that it charted, it's been in movies, TV shows. Mm-hmm. This song has a really nice licensing life. That's where you make the big money as far as a music publisher goes. So whoever owns a music publisher makes, hopefully the band does, because you really want to hope that that they do. And you get, I mean, this was in Friends for crying out loud. So, I mean, that alone, you know.
No kidding.
The licensing rights and that. So I'm hoping that at the end of the day, that a song that was, as he puts it, was written in 20 minutes.
That's fascinating to me.
To, you know, hopefully create some like really nice financial stability for him or the other members of the band. I don't know what their agreement's like, but that's the other thing with a one hit wonder is that, you know, a lot of times these, they can live off of
that's all they needed. Song.
Like, what is it? The Archies, Sugar, Sugar.
Yeah. I mean, what is that? True. So
50 years old, six. I mean, they're still living off the royalties of Sugar, Sugar. Like,
no kidding. Imagine. So one of my favorite things to watch on TikTok are like the royalty checks that come through for like these like smaller actors.
Oh, yeah. When they get like, you know, 2 cents.
20 cents for this episode that was in Full House, you know, back in the 90s. I just really, sometimes it's a really good haul. Sometimes it's so embarrassingly low. So to your point, I really do hope that they do own that royalties and that will get them for eternity, a really nice paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, the song was written by Dan Wilson, the lead singer. So hopefully they made some great financial decisions and he owns or, you know, still has the publishing rights on that. I will say, though, that, and I did read this in Song Facts, is that the song itself was the only big U.S. hit, but they did have a second hit in the U.K. with Secret Smile. And that actually charted higher in the U.K., but
okay. You know,
but I mean, I guess for the most part, we'll be talking about US-based chart-topping songs.
Yes, yes.
Just for clarification here.
Okay, and Ian's coming in and saying, the last time I went to the bar, they were playing Copperhead Road. I think it was a long time ago. Me too, Ian. Me too.
There you go.
I haven't set foot in a bar in a real, except for like a lunch or something like that. It's been a long time.
Been a long time. All right. So I don't know who doesn't know this song.
But maybe someone.
But maybe there's someone who doesn't know. Yeah. Or maybe they didn't know it was Semisonic that does it. So here is a little bit of Closing Time by Semisonic.
Closing time. Yeah. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
That's line.
Yep.
I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home.
Ah, good song, man. Really good song. It's so hard to with these songs. Like, you want to get sucked in and listen to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But once again, disclaimer here, everybody. We have listened to these whole songs over and over again, even with these songs we've heard. But I know sometimes we get in the comments, how come you guys don't play the whole song? How can you guys rate a song you haven't listened to? We have listened to the whole song, okay? So just so
Oh, no. I totally lost Chris. And he is the person who does all of the good stuff. But while we're waiting for Chris to hop back on, I'll talk about the playlist that we were just playing from that we do listen to all of our songs over and over again. You can find it on Spotify. It is our 2024 Song Swap Showdown playlist. And there is my Chris.
Don't know what just happened, but for some reason I got kicked out of the studio and I guess they didn't like I was talking. I was saying good things. I got kicked out of our own studio.
It was perfect. I just went into, they can find all of the songs on our Spotify 2024 playlist. So it was the perfect like timing.
Yeah. I'm like, I got kicked out of our own studio. But however, I was saying that we have listened to these songs over and over again. And so for everybody, it's like, have you guys listened to these songs? Yes, we've listened to them before we come on here, which is why then we have the discussion. So
We do. All right. Okay. So closing time. Where do we rate this? I mean, it definitely is that one hit wonder now that I know.
Yeah.
I think so many people had heard it, which definitely makes it in that one hit wonder lane. So you know what I liked about it is he had said part of it is the song was about like pregnancy and the birth of his daughter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I thought was a really cool like metaphor kind of.
And I didn't know that either until I read that on songfacts.com.
That was really, really neat.
Everybody thinks that that's the literal meaning, but it's actually this whole thing about his child being born and coming into the world. And he said even the line, every new beginning comes with some other beginning's end. Sounds like it could be a Zen proverb or part of a famous poem, but it's an original line. In an interview with Dan Wilson on Songflex, he said the phrase does have a kind of timeless proverbial vibe about it. Does seem to be literally tattooed on people's arms and reprinted in thousands of places, and it's been falsely attributed to ancient Roman philosophers, actually. So I guess there's definitely something about it. It's been useful to people. I can only be grateful for that.
Absolutely. It is. It is a very powerful line. So I actually really like this song. I don't want to listen to it over and over, so it's definitely not an eternity playlist. But for the point of this show, I'm giving this a 4.5. I think it hits all of the check marks for one hit wonders.
4.5. All right. So definitely not. It's not skippable. It's a play.
Yep. I feel it when I hear it.
You feel it.
I feel it. Yeah.
All right. 4.5 for Semisonic's Closing Time from Amanda, that girl sharp. What do you guys think? Do you agree with Amanda's assessment? Is Semisonic a 4.5 record song? Would you play it? Would you pass it? Would you skip it? Let us know. Want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. I like that rating. I accept it.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. So your first song to me
this
week is by
And I went full country this week.
You went full country this week.
I went full country this week. Disclosure, everyone.
And I will say, out of all three of your songs, I'd heard none of them before. Shocker. I don't know any of these songs. None of them.
I love that.
I don't think anybody's shocked by that, though, when it comes to the country stuff. When you go all country, it's very like, maybe I've heard it. Maybe I have not heard any of these songs.
That is so funny, especially considering they're one-hit wonders. But if you're not in the place that country one-hit wonders would be playing, you probably would not hear these ones.
Yeah, agreed. That's the thing. Like, you gotta, you know, you just, if you're not in the right place, you're not in the, it's just not gonna happen. You're not gonna have it. You're not gonna see it. So, all right. So, Breakdown Here by Julie Roberts, not Julia Roberts, by the way. Right. I just want to be very
correct.
very clear about Julie Roberts, because when I was doing my search, I'm like, Julia Roberts? It kept coming up. I'm like, no, Julie Roberts. Breakdown Here. So that is your first song to me, and that is the debut song from her, which was released on May 24th, 2004, and it peaked at number 18 on the country music charts. It is her only hit song, won the chart, and the song was written by Jess Brown and Patrick Jason Matthews. So this is a tune that was also, I think this, wasn't this a cover as well? Is this a song that somebody
this
else did
was,
too? I thought I read that this was a cover.
Was it Trace Adkins?
That's it, Trace Adkins. Here it is.
Okay.
Yep, I'm seeing it now. Trace Adkins.
Similar-ish, yeah.
Yeah, he said it was originally recorded as I'd Sure Hate to Break Down Here, and it was released by Trace Adkins on his 2003 album, Coming Home Strong. Mm-hmm. However, his version of the song was not released as a single. So...
And
this
I personally,
was her single.
Yes. And I personally feel like some songs are just made to be sung by a woman for it to like really hit home the way that the message is. So I think this is one of the songs. So I'm not surprised that his version was hers version is what actually like took to the charts.
Now, question is this song one that you're like, what?
Yes.
What? Yes. Hit me with the question.
What? I'm ready.
Is this song a song that you were into when it originally came out, or did you come to it later
on? I belted this baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a karaoke? Is this a karaoke tune?
This never made it to karaoke.
Okay.
But because I had other favorites before this, like I have top charts for karaoke songs. Mm-hmm. This is probably more like that 20-ish. You know, ranking range. Actually, 18, is that where it ranked on the charts? Probably, I'll put it
was
right
number
there
18.
Too.
Yeah, number 18 on a hot this. Country chart.
I'll nestle this one into number 18 on Amanda's karaoke chart. But no, like I felt when I loved this song when it was on the radio and I sang it with much passion.
Yeah, it's I never heard the song before, and I actually enjoyed it. It was a nice bop. It was a nice bop. No, I like the lyrics too. I mean, I like the lyrics. I think the lyrics kind of like, I don't know. It just tells a very good narrative, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So let's play a little bit of this, because I don't know how many people have heard this song. Obviously, if you're a country fan, I think you probably have heard it. But for those non-country fans out there, let's take a listen to Breakdown Here by Julie Roberts.
Let's do it.
Not to be confused with Julie Roberts. By the way, Lancaster, South Carolina. Which is now where my parents live.
There you go. 203, gas cage leaning on the edge of the.
I'll be dying if the rain ain't pouring down. I really like the quality of her voice.
There's so much swing underneath
the hood. Yeah, I don't mind it. Banging and a clanging, and it can't be good. It's the right amount of twang. It's another 50 miles to the nearest town. But I like, it's like, you know, good country tropes here. Everything I own's in the back and
I have to bag. I like that line. I'm out of cigarettes and I'm down on my last rag. I sure hate to break down here. Nothing up ahead or in the rear view mirror. I love that line too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
right.
I love, like, I'll sure be in trouble if my wheels stop turning. Like, yes, like, you just got to keep going forward.
Yeah, I, you know what? This song grew on me. When I first put it on, I will say my initial was like,
for sure.
I don't know. It just wasn't like, and I was like, oh, you know what, though? But her voice, the quality of her voice really, really, like, struck a chord with me. And I was like, all right, hold on. Let me listen to us a few more times and get into it. And yeah, it grew on me over the course of the last few days since you've sent it to me. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I've nestled into this song. but it's a good song. I mean, it's soulful too, and I like the narrative, and I know there's a lot of great imagery. It's got I feel like there's a little like cinematic quality to it too, with a lot of the phrases and all that. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's a pretty memorable song from that standpoint. So I think I would probably put this on the Sunday playlist. Because I've been updating the Sunday morning playlist quite a bit.
That would be a good place to nestle it.
Quite a bit lately. So I think we're making a shirt that says, I'll just nestle in on that one.
Nestle it right here.
Nestle it right here. so Midwest, so awesome. but yeah, I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, I do. I like the song. I don't know if it's an eternity song for me.
Sure.
But I certainly.
Oh my gosh! When you said that, I was like, "You are so country."
I certainly don't hate it either. I think it's a good song. I'm gonna put it right in the middle.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it 3.5 records.
I received
that. That's where I'm at with it right now. I'm not skipping it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm gonna put it on a playlist, which counts for something, right? It has to count for something. So I'm pretty good at 3.5 records for Julie Roberts. By the way, once again, Julie Roberts with her tune.
Breakdown
here. And by the way, I want to say in just a little bit, like, so where did Julie Roberts go, right? Oh, my God, she just hit. Well, it turns out Julie Roberts has not had a very she's had a lot of health issues. And in 2022, she realized she had celiac disease, but she's also had MS as well. So. But she is still out there, and she is, she actually went out, she did a tour, she released a new record. So she is still out there by the grace of God, making music, doing what she loves doing. Mm-hmm. And she's even said, I read this article in People Magazine. She goes, I'll sing this song. I never get sick of singing the song. It's the song that put her where she is. She's gotten certified gold records for this song. She's got a gold single. So, listen, she's somebody that really appreciates. I know some artists get like, oh, God, if I got to sing that song one more time. But she is somebody who absolutely appreciates having that hit song and loves singing it. And, you know, listen, I know people with celiac disease and all that. And it is not easy to, you know, I live a gluten-free lifestyle, but not that I have celiac disease. I have other things. But, that is definitely it's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah. And then to deal with MS on top of that. Nope. So kudos to her for staying, still staying involved in making art and music and all that. So good on her.
Yep.
Good on
her. Living life to the fullest.
Still living life to the fullest. So, all right. Ian saying, are any of Amanda's ditties considered a one hit wonder?
Is that a question mark?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Is that a question or is that a statement? Or is it
like a statement?
Yeah.
Like with an exclamation point or question mark?
Yeah.
Ian. It could be either a really good compliment or like, are any of these even popular, Amanda? I don't know how to take it.
So going back to closing time, some ratings we got from the... So Dave saying closing time is catchy, but Silver played 3.1 for me. And Ian saying closing time 3.5 records for him.
Fair. That
is very fair. Very, very fair. And if anybody else has ratings on that or the song we just heard, let us know in the comments below. We'd love to hear from you guys. And at the moment, we are going to take a super quick break, and we will be right back with some more music reviews. Stay tuned. Don't change our channel.
Welcome to the greatest night out with your bestie your ears will ever have. I'm Amanda Yoa, your host and hype woman of Staying Inspired, showing out every week with that She Said What energy to give you a dose of humor, inspo, entertainment, and even at times a keeping it real kick in the butt so you can stand out in a world where we're encouraged to just fit in. This is where inspo air humps humor and visions and dreams become real life. He didn't even come up to me himself. And I remember one time I was like, I'll dance with you. So then we danced. I remember answering, I'm like, what? Yeah, save room for the Holy Spirit. So I go, I'm like, getting my feet done today. So I sit down and I am just in fear of what is going to be under this polish. Police in Mexico are strapped, right? He's like, we need to get out of the car. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to Mexico jail. So what are you waiting for? Check out Staying Inspired, available on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and other listening platforms.
That's right. Check out Amanda's Yoga Show. We love Amanda. She is great. The other Amanda.
Yes. Something we have the name.
Yeah. Great name. Great name. So, Amanda, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How? This is something I've always struggled with. I barely remember my own phone number.
Okay.
How, yes. Do you remember, like, how hard is it for you to remember phone numbers? Right.
That was my number growing up.
Your number growing up. I could barely remember my phone number growing up. But, like, when I think about, like, even, like, Rachel's phone number and my daughter's phone numbers, like, I don't really, I can't remember them without, like, going to my phone and looking them up, right?
Okay.
Do you struggle with this too? I mean, do you struggle with remembering phone numbers?
I want to tell you okay, you guys are going to really judge me. And I might make Chris edit this out later.
You can't edit this out.
You're right. All right. So we all know the very popular song 867-5309, right?
Yep. Jenny.
Right. Because we know how that song,
right,
the jingle makes us remember it. So my sister's 7th grade boyfriend, I memorized his number. Why? I don't know. I can still say it.
And did you all do this song because to it?
I did it to the 867 song. So it was 4, 5, 7. Why do I do that to myself? I'm 42 now. This was decades ago. But it shows how if you jingleize something.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah. If you write something in a song, it's much easier to memorize.
Yes. Right?
And so I think that this, by the way, genius idea.
Yes.
Because guys, you got this is something that Amanda just used as an example. And this is something that I think is great because especially if you got kids, right? And not every little kid should really have a cell phone yet.
Right.
But they should know the numbers, right? Because listen, things are different now. There isn't just the one home line anymore. Like you've got
mom's cell phone, dad's cell phone.
Yeah, maybe grandparents, siblings, all that. And it's not easy to always remember all those numbers. So when you're teaching a kid, a child, those phone numbers, very important for them to know it. What's the best way to do it? And Amanda just proved it. That is doing it in a song. It's something it's very easily remember. And like, listen, who doesn't like want to sing a song and remember something by a song, right? A jingle, right? A jingle is fun. So this is a genius idea. Musician and comedian and dad, by the way, Mike Furman has definitely come up with a whole new approach to child safety. And I think this is just genius. MyPhoneNumberSong.com makes a song out of your phone number. Mm-hmm. Guys, I think this is such a great idea. So, I mean, honestly, you got to check this out. I'm going to bring up, I'm sharing my screen because I want you guys got to check this out. So,
and the website is genius. www.myphonenumbersong.com. I mean,
myphonenumbersong.com. I mean, easy to remember. And we'll also have the links in the notes as well. But honestly, if you want to teach your kid your phone number with a song, this is the way. And it's so easy to do. Literally, it's a 6-step process. Step one, enter your phone number. Step two, select whose phone number it is. So you can even teach it that you can even teach your child it's mom's number. Mm-hmm. Step three, you'll get an email with a download link. Four, accept the terms, privacy terms. Number five, you pay $2. And by the way, 10% of that goes to missingkids.org. And then step six, you get a finished song to play. That you can have, you know, that you it'd probably be good for you to learn it and for your kid to do it. So literally you have 24 hours to download the song. I mean, it takes less than a minute to create. Mm-hmm. And it's not, by the way, not randomly generated by AI. It's a real song specifically written for kids. And Mike has, it's so funny. You go through it and you read it. Mike has done all these. So this is really Mike's voice, Mike playing these songs. I'm going to play a sample. So here's the sample. Please, it's on the website. But literally, For, you guys got to try this. It's great. I think this is fantastic. It's phenomenal.
It's your phone number. Follow along. 310-310-555-555.
I'm doing one, this for your phone number.
Two, yes.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing, guys. You have to do this. If, seriously. I mean, mm-hmm. let alone kids. Adults need this. Mm-hmm. Like a man and I.
Well, that's the thing. Like I have now as an adult, I just save everyone's number in my phone.
Yeah.
You know, do. So I rely on this tool.
Right. But what if you lose it?
1,000,000%. I wouldn't even be able to call Marcus.
Right. What is Marcus's phone number? Right. Like I don't, you know, what is your son's phone number? I bet you can't remember. So.
No. Not at all.
I can barely remember my kids' phone numbers.
Yep.
I think I kind of remember Rachel's, my wife. But so I need this as much as the kids do. But honestly, listen, in all seriousness, this is a great way to teach your kid phone numbers. So I 1,000% check out myphonenumbersong.com. Get in there. It's $2 and 10% of it gets donated to missingkids.org. So, and I just want to stress once again, not AI. Generated, not random. Mike Furman came up with this great idea, and this is him singing the songs, doing the songs. So definitely check this out. Myphonenumbersong.com.
Well done. Great product.
Great product. Check it out. Have fun with it.
I love when we discover something like this that really just kind of goes side by side. And then is it embarrassing that I remember my sister's seventh grade boyfriend's number and not Marcus's? Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, so yes. I probably
but you said it to a song, and that's why
it's true. So I need to do. I need to spend my $2 and then have them do Marcus's and Owen's numbers.
There you go. for kids, but also for adults.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So check it out. Myphonenumbersong.com. All right. Let's get back into the show.
Yes,
Amanda. Yes. My second song to you
is Here in Your Bedroom by Goldfinger. Now, this was the only song that I did not know of your list. I actually knew the third. I don't know if that's a surprise to you, but we'll get to that.
It is a surprise to me, by the way.
Because of Marcus, you know what I mean? It
makes sense. I always forget about the Marcus factor element. Because I was giggling as I was putting it on there. And I go, she doesn't know this song. Boom. All right. So, you don't know this one.
This one. So I never heard that song. And, you know, how he wrote this song, just another, you know, like 20 seconds later and he had a hit and it was about he hooked up with the crush he always had. And he was saying, I wonder if she'll feel the same as I do right now, which he was just very happy at the moment. Apparently the relationship was very short lived, but he got a song out of it and she got a song written about her out of it.
Yeah. He got number 5 on the Billboard Modern Rock charts. So this hit number 5 on the charts. So that's
some good chemistry.
Top 5 song. And then they wound up then getting a song. The other big song they had was Superman, which wound up in the Tony Hawk Pro Skater game, which everybody knows that song as well. So, you know, you could say these guys are one hit wonders, but they definitely, and they're still out there having a nice career, playing, touring, putting out records. They actually did these great series of live videos during called the quarantine sessions. During lockdown, they did like a bunch of songs and they were all in the different studios and edited it all together. They're really fun to watch. I remember watching them when they came out and being like, this is great. And, a lot of bands started doing these quarantine session type videos. But I'd say they were one of the first group of like bands and artists to actually take advantage of the fact that, hey, we're on lockdown, but we can still create and entertain people.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I love that they did that. But yeah, this is still a very active band out there touring, putting out music. So they didn't disappear. They're still there.
Still there.
Yeah.
Still there creating. Yep. Just some songs just hit. Strike that chord that everybody just likes it, and it becomes a hit.
It becomes a hit.
This was actually, what do we consider this type of genre? Is this like
ska punk?
I was going to say, I felt like I was hearing ska, but I didn't know if it was like ska, but it also seemed grungy to me.
It's just more ska punk, you know, basically like skater punk kind of stuff. But like, it's, you know, it's that sound, and this being released in the mid 90s, this was definitely the sound. This was huge. This was like Warped Tour, like made for Warped Tour kind of style sound with kids, you know, skating, having a good time. This brings back a lot of memories for sure. And this was on the radio, man. Like New York radio played the heck out of this song.
Okay.
Definitely a great summer tune. This is definitely this and Superman, a bunch of other songs are all on summer playlists for sure. This is a song that everybody hears and they go, oh, yep. It's a good song. It's a fun song. It's a good one to sing along to. So, all right. So let's, if you've never heard this song before, let's play a little bit of Here in Your Bedroom by Goldfinger. I love that name too. It's a great album cover. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. We need Benny back. Benny.
I know. This one goes out to you, Betty Cabal.
Ah, there you go. Going out to Betty.
Ooh, you sounded so much better. Really jamming out. Those usually are just not.
Want to listen to the whole thing? Oh, it's such a good song. This is such a good get up and go song, man. It's a fun one. It's a fun bumper. One. Yeah. It's definitely.
So where do I write this song?
Where are you feeling about this, Amanda?
You know, anyone who's a listener of this show, I enjoy some ska and reggae sounding stuff. Like I never really knew it was a lane until I was like, ooh, it has a name. So this one I don't like as much as the other two. So this is probably my least favorite, but I still like it. So I'm going to give this a 3.5, which I still think is pretty good. Right, guys?
Okay, so right in the middle of the road, 3.5.
Yes, right. But a little above average.
So you're not as excited about it as I just was.
No, you were really jamming out, and I enjoyed the show.
you enjoyed the show, thank you.
I enjoyed the show.
Yeah. No, it's a good get up and go song for me. Yeah. I mean, it's just a fun one, and everybody usually sings along to it, you know, at least in my pack. In my pack.
You've got a good pack.
I got a good pack. I do. No, so I accept your 3.5. I'm glad you dug it. So definitely a good one. Yeah, and I agree. Dave coming in with Goldfinger also does a good cover of Rio. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That is a fun cover song they do. I like that one. I like that one. By the way, Alex Bayless checking in with I do now old phone numbers, but new ones are hard to remember.
Yep, he does know. I do too. I know those old phone numbers usually by heart, and then the newer ones I just don't even pretend to try and know.
Yeah, phone number, Ian, phone numbers. You got to be kidding! I'm happy to find my way back home from work each night.
You know, it's
we
not...
need to make a song about directions on how to get home.
Which Benny, one of Benny's songs that he and his band sings, one of his band members wrote it, and it's literally only about directions.
Yep. Yeah.
Which, so Ian, we can help you get home by writing a song about directions to get you home.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, hey guys, so let us know. Do you agree with Amanda's rating? Where would you have rated Goldfinger's Here in My Bedroom on a scale of 1 to 5 records? Is it a play? Is it a pass? Let us know. We want to know from you. This isn't a one sided show, even though sometimes it feels like it. It's not one sided. All right. Your next song to me
Yeah, I'm not sure about this one, how you're going to think this one.
So this was, I don't know, it was something about, I had no idea that he was a 12-year-old boy.
12-year-old boy, and I knew you would be kind because of his age.
I am going to be kind.
But I just didn't, this was a risky one to put on the list.
No, but I'm glad you took the risk. I'm glad you took the risk. So listen, guys, the song we're talking about right now is One Voice by Billy Gillum, who is also, his real name is William Wendell Gilman III, born May 24th, 1988, known professionally as Billy Gillum, is an American country singer. He started as a young country artist and is known for his single, One Voice, which was a top 40 hit on the Billboard Hot 100 and a top 20 hit on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart in 2000. He's released 5 albums since then, including 3 for Epic Nashville, and in 2016, he actually auditioned for season 11 of the U.S. edition of The Voice and competed as part of Team Adam Levine, finishing as a runner-up for that season. This song peaked at number 38 on the Billboard Hot 100 and hit number 1 on Billboard Hot Country Songs chart in 2000, and he was 11 years old at the time, becoming the youngest artist ever to have a top 40 single in the country chart. So I guess beating out Brenda Lee. Brenda Lee was pretty young when she hit.
Yeah.
With Rocking Around the Christmas Tree and all that.
Yep.
So youngest. So, and wow. Okay. So about this song, I'm going to say not my cup of tea.
I figured.
Not my cup of tea.
But.
Or glass of beer.
or milk of whiskey, in this case.
or milk because he's 11.
He's 12.
Yeah. So I but I'm gonna say it's not a horrible song by any stretch of the imagination, just not for me, right? It's not something I really kind of connected with. I thought it was a female singing. Sure. At first I was like, oh, this is but then I was like, wait a second. No. Then I'm like, I looked at the word. I'm like, oh, Billy Gillum. No, this is. And then I was like, oh, it's actually a child singing the song. Like
a true child.
A true child. So I was I was like, oh, OK. So I wasn't expecting it to be a child singing the tune. So I'm going to play a little bit of this. I want to know what you guys think. Have you guys heard this song before? I mean, does anybody else out there know this song by Billy Gillum, One Voice? Seems like it was a pretty big hit. Obviously, when it came out, it seemed like a huge hit.
And it is just kind of sung through the eyes of a 12-year-old assessing violence, kind of, and
right.
The things in the world that aren't good. And so I think, a 12-year-old boy probably is the one to have passed on that message. So bravo, Billy. I mean,
yeah, and that's the other thing. That's the one thing I will say about this is that the lyrics and I actually didn't watch the music video, but I heard the music video actually packs a punch. And I was going to say, very progressive on these lyrics.
Yeah.
And I think it's very, very timely, given everything that's been going on in the climate over the last 24 years or plus in this country. So very interesting to get the perspective of a child with a song like this. So I thought that was very interesting. Yes. And also very, very bold for what is a hit song.
Yeah, right? Agreed.
Hit song. So, all right. So let's play a little bit of this because I don't think, I don't know. I hadn't heard it before.
Country people will probably remember it.
Country people.
Non-country, this is going to be new.
All right, so let's check out a little bit of One Voice by Billy Gillum here.
You just look at the cover. He's a baby. I know.
Look, yeah, and then you see him today, and it's like he's like 35 or
he's
something.
He's a man. Yeah. Sounds different.
Some kids have and some kids don't. And some of us are wondering why. And mom won't watch the news at night. There's too much stuff that's making her cry.
And how many people say that today?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so relevant still.
One voice was heard.
Yeah, so.
A house yard, a neighborhood where you can.
So, I like the observational lyrics here. I think it's very, you know, deep for a kid to be singing. And I know it was Billy Gilliam sings it, but David Malloy is a lyricist, and so is Don Cook. So the song was written by two songwriters, country music songwriters. Mm-hmm. So, but still, once again, I think bold. I think bold. And I think that his voice brings that you know, the levity, I think, you know, yeah. The gravity of the observations, you know? And so I think, and once again, hearing it from a child's perspective, I think is pretty, pretty unique.
Yeah. And it's not like an agenda song either, you know, like stick it to them. It's like, hey, we need help down here. Like, what do we do? It sucks.
It does. It does. And I was just thinking, I was looking at a picture of him, just that younger picture. It reminded me of like the, if anybody out there, anybody watches Game of Thrones, he looks like
I've never seen any of that.
The prince who becomes king, Cersei's son, Joffrey, King Joffrey. He kind of
Joffrey.
I gotta see if I can find a picture of Joffrey real quick to bring up.
But man, you know, 12 years old and having that kind of success, that can't be easy. I assume the parents were very involved.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I gotta imagine. Oh, here's a picture of Joffrey. I think that him and Joffrey kind of share some. So that's King Joffrey.
You know what? Okay, I'm not gonna disagree.
King Joffrey.
Okay.
Right. So that's King Joffrey.
Yep.
And let me bring up a picture.
12-year-old picture of Billy.
Billy Gilliam. Let's see. I just was looking at that one picture of him on Spotify. Uh-huh. And all right, so here's the front cover of the record.
There you go. You're not wrong.
He looks a little bit like Joffrey.
Yeah.
King Joffrey.
I mean, to think of where, like, what a baby.
Oh, yeah. I think what he's, yeah.
What a baby.
Oh. Obviously, hopefully not as evil as King Joffrey. Well, that fictional character. but yeah, all right. So where am I with this song? So once again, listen, I think that for the time and observational, it definitely gets points. I mean, not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't choose to play this song. Right.
Okay. That's completely fair.
Not my thing, but I don't think it's a bad song.
Mm-hmm.
So this is strictly my take on this song. Sure. I wouldn't choose to play it, although not a bad song, and I appreciate what it's done, and obviously huge hit song. I'm gonna give it. So this is gonna be controversial because I'm not choosing to play this song. I'm giving it a 2.8.
You know. Okay. So listen. I 100% knew it wasn't going to be great. I just really thought that this should be put on the list, and I don't regret it. Yet I'm not surprised that you're like, no, I can appreciate it, but no.
But it is a one-hit wonder, for sure. Right. Like, this was Billy's biggest hit. It gave him a huge career, still going today. Absolutely. As an adult. So kudos to him having made a career out of really this one song and having released. I mean, once again, this wasn't his only record. I mean, he still did another. He's still out there playing. He's been on TV. He's released five records. So good on him. By the way, from Rhode Island, by the way, New England.
New England.
Yeah. Billy from New England, repping country music with one voice right there.
One voice.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. I'm at a 2.8 with it just because it's not my cup of tea, but I do appreciate that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos to Billy Gilliam, seriously. Once again, really hard to have a hit, and boom, he's got it, and he's living off of it, and good for him.
That's right. Okay, moving on to your third and final song to me for the day.
Yeah.
Flagpole Sitta. By Harvey Danger.
So I am so surprised that you know the song, but then when you told me
Marcus
listens to it, I'm like, oh, okay. I always forget the Marcus X factor.
That he's cool.
That Marcus is cool and listens to like relevant music.
Yes, absolutely. You and him would get along so well.
Yeah, Marcus and I need to have like a total like hang.
So yeah, at first when it started playing, I was like, I don't know if I know this song. And then I started singing the lyrics and I'm like, nope, I know this song.
You're like, wait a second.
Wait a second. So I have to say, if you can pull up songfacts.com on this song, Mm-hmm. When I read the song Facts stuff on it, I go, I couldn't even compute what it was saying and the words it was using.
Right.
It was so confusing to me, Chris. Like, I went, I'm just going to have to leave a note on my page here that says song facts. Like, what? We'll talk about that at the show, because what did I just read? And right. I'm not the best reader, everyone. So here we go. More secrets.
Yeah. So first of all, okay. So let me dive into this. Really, the song, first of all, the song was written. And by the way, the song came out in 1997, by the way, and charted number 38 in the US and number 57 in UK. Now you're like, oh, is this a, it was this band's only big hit. This was on rock radio, alternative rock radio, especially here in New York. Like, this was, and it still is. If you listen to like alternative rock here in New York, this song still comes up, even on Sirius XM alternate. Like, this song is still in heavy rotation to this day. And it was really more of a biting anti-anthem, especially according to songfacts.com, on the basically taking of the Seattle music scene and the commodification of it, right? So that it's become like, oh, you're from, it's in the 90s, you're from Seattle, boom, we're going to package you, put you out there, and you're going to be big, it's going to be grunge, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, of course, like every scene, you know, there's what started out as like just to be in a rock, you know, rock music scene, then turned into like every major label was signing everybody, commercialized the heck out of 90s grunge and all that. And now then, of course, you always then have the anti-movement to that, which is like, oh, and so this was a response to that going on in the music scene at that time, right? The music industry. And so with them, where the song came from, so they and self-admitted is that it's so it's basically the song takes a name from a popular trend in 1920 where folks sat atop of flagpoles for hours in a show of endurance or protest, right? So if you actually go and Google this, you will see that that was something that happened in the 20s. Like, it was a sign of protest, a sit on a flagpole. It was a whole thing. You got, I'm telling you, Google it and you'll see it. You'll see images come up. So they basically took this as they took a reference made in, and I love the Marx Brothers. So I'm just, I always love this. I love Animal Crackers by the Marx Brothers, one of my favorite Marx Brothers movies. And the whole flagpole sitting thing came to mind. It was referenced in, they actually referenced the trend in that movie.
Interesting.
The flagpole sitting.
Well, the darn.
So according to songfacts.com, as a slangy spelling, it was the homage to some of the band's favorite records, he continued, and having the sitta, S-I-T-T-A, was just because the song only existed for us in a room, and we thought it was funny to spell things out that way, because, you know, two of our favorite records, as always, Pavement's 1992 record, Slanted and Enchanted, which had Flamethrower, T-H-R-O-W-A on it, and NWA's 1988 debut record, Straight Outta Compton. O-U-T-T-A. So basically taking that whole sitta, like, okay, kind of capitalizing on a bit of that. So that's kind of how it came up. So it's basically about the commodification of the 90s, like, Seattle scene. And
there then it is.
Using the flagpole sitta reference as a form of protest. And then the spelling kind of coming from NWA and Pavement. So there you go, everybody.
It was a lot to digest. Okay.
The history of flagpole sitta.
So let's talk about flagpole sitting for a second. Like, realistically, Chris Baglio, how long could you sit on top of a pole? And when you look at it, there's
first
a platform
of all, I would never do
pole
it
here. Okay. Okay.
I'm gonna bring up okay, an image too. So
some are more generous than others, but there is a place to either stand or sit.
Yeah,
so on top of this pole.
Here is, I'm just gonna share my screen. Because you got, I mean, for those not Googling or if you're just sitting here watching and being entertained, here are some images of people flagpole sitting.
There you go.
Back in the day.
Hats off to this, the flagpole sitting.
See, this guy's got a little seat.
Yeah.
But I mean, this guy's standing on top of this flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's just chilling out, reading a paper.
Reading a paper.
Look at this. Just reading a paper. Oh, that looks docked. But this guy.
Interesting.
Alvin Shipwreck Kelly, 1893 to 19, prolific pole sitter who first publicized flagpole sitting in the U.S. attracted massive crowds.
So
Is this something that should be brought back?
You know, so this
I'm
is
surprised
what,
we don't see more flagpoles sitting these days.
This is what I'm thinking. Like, realistically, I wasn't built to be a telephone pole sitter or a pole sitter. Like, I just wasn't built for that.
I'm not built for it, nor would I do it. I don't feel that I need to go sit on a flagpole.
No, I feel like heights don't bother me at all. But if that pole sways at all, I'll be getting sick. I'm antsy in my pantsy. I have to pee a lot. Like,
right.
I mean, I just can't imagine I would be very effective on
pole. You'd have to find another form of protest.
Yeah, like just go on social media or something.
Just make a TikTok. Just make a TikTok these days.
Yeah. Yet the visual statement of a pole sitter during like 2024, to your point, like, I'm surprised that's not a thing anymore.
I'm surprised we haven't seen more of it, but, you know, maybe people need to go back to the 1920s and take a look at things. But I don't know.
I didn't know about it.
Would you guys has anybody out there in our audience actually done a flagpole sitting? And would you, given the chance, would you do a flagpole sitting? For fun or for?
To advocate something.
Advocate something. Like, would you do it? Let us know. I personally would not. No. I'm not sitting on any flagpoles.
If I was gifted enough, I would do it. However, just don't think it's for me.
You know what? The caveat I gotta say though, hold on. Let me bring up the one. See this one image here. I think though. All right. So first of all, I'm not a big heights guy. So this is also another reason.
I think
reason.
A lot of people aren't.
But I think if I had a little seat, maybe. See, I don't. This doesn't. I don't know. What do you call it? The crow's nest, right? With the on a ship. So this guy's sitting in like a little seat or something. Maybe if I had like a recliner. Oh, here's one with like a bunch of people sitting.
Oh, so, okay, let's rephrase that. Chris, if it was you and I on something like that and we could like just talk, what would you think then?
I'd need a nice comfy chair at the top. Okay. And maybe then not so high.
I'll go the higher one.
You can set a higher one.
I'll take the one for the team for the
not
height.
A heights person. So.
I don't think I'd be very effective. But interesting, I didn't even know that was a thing. Yep. So look at this song, "Flagpole Sitta" by Harvey Danger, educating people. Look at that.
And loaded with sarcasm, which is another reason why I love this song. I mean, they just literally rip on everything. Like, I love it. No one is safe in this song. So
let's play a little bit of this. All so right. those, because I feel like a lot of people really may not know this one.
Or may not know that it's Harvey Danger. So,
yes.
Yeah.
In my lane, like especially.
Yeah.
Because had there not been a Marcus Element, I wouldn't have known this.
Yeah. And this was in heavy rotation MTV, actually. It did. It helped propel it to number 3 single on their modern rock chart, by the way.
Ooh. Look at that.
All right.
I knew it. It's there. I was like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, this is an American Pie?
Yeah, it's been in a ton of things.
Okay.
So, yeah, great song, man. By the way, this whole record is really solid. I highly recommend checking out the whole record, Where Have All the Merrymakers Gone? It is a good record. It's solid. I'm telling you guys, check it out. It's a good. There's actually, if anybody, any Alfred Hitchcock fans out there, there's a great little tribute song to Vertigo, one of my favorite movies of all time. So definitely check it out. So yeah, this has been, you mentioned it, it's been in a ton of things. American Pie, My Dead Boyfriend, Dickie Roberts, TV shows like Psych, October Road, Dawson's Creek.
Oh,
see, talked about his show before.
Yes. Psych is also very good.
Was also used as the theme show for Peep Show, which is a very famous. I remember I watched this very famous British sitcom show, and was the theme song for 2004 to 2015. So
okay,
great length of being a TV theme show song. And just so you know, the band is no longer together. They went on hiatus in 2001, then they reunited in 2005, did a third and final studio record called Little by Little, and then officially disbanded in 2009. So they are not a band that's together anymore, but I'm sure a band still living off of the royalties, hopefully, from this song, because it has definitely been licensed in a lot of different things. So, yeah. So, Amanda.
Yes.
Where are you? What flagpole are you sitting on?
You know,
for flagpole sitta, what is the rating? 1 to 5 records.
I am sitting on, I'm doing 4 records. I actually really like it.
4 records.
It takes me back to like a time when I was younger and Marcus and I were kind of dating and just kind of that kind of stuff. I know, smooching, you know, all this stuff.
Smooching,
you know, this stuff.
One arm push ups in the parking lot.
I know. It's just the American love story. Give me a holly tree on that.
American love story. What are push-ups in the parking lot?
Listening to Flagpole Sitta.
Listen to Flagpole Sitta.
I mean, if that's not America, I don't know what is.
It truly is an American love story. All right, so I accept your 4 records. Great, great. Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a fun one. I think this has definitely stood the test of time. I think so far, I would say out of all these songs, they have all pretty much held up. Mm-hmm. For me, mm-hmm. The one song, like I said, just didn't hit for me so far was the one Voice.
Sure.
But I think it must still hold up for some people.
And you know, I haven't heard it on the radio in forever. So
maybe
I
it's
think
kind of past its prime.
It is kind of that one type where you listen to the lyrics and they're still extremely relevant.
Right.
It's just, I think that window to do like using 12-year-olds isn't, I think, looked at the same in 2024 as it was 20 something years ago.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I just think that exploitation of minors is just a little bit different.
Yep.
So I don't know that we're going to see that a whole lot anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it just feels funny. But yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, we have one song left.
One song left.
Before we get to our final song, I do want to thank our Patreon members. Yay! Mark Ronick, Dave Manley, Ian from Australia, and Johnny Beyond and the Back of the Cereal Box crew. Thank you all so much for your support of Patreon, us on Patreon. We do post in there weekly, whether it's me or me and Amanda, but we're always posting all kinds of other fun content in there, whether it's top 10 lists or other video reviews. Recently, I did, looked at, we listened to the top 10 of Spotify's Global 50. I've been going on there and listen to some music on Brooklyn Vegan together. So listen, we've been posting stuff in there and we're always taking requests in there as well. So join today. It is free to join. You can try it out for 7 days, scan the QR code on the screen or use the link in the show notes and description and give it a try. And then you can join for literally as low as $1 or join our new, very new, $1.50
Costco special.
The Costco special, the hot dog and soda special, $1.50. You join it and you get a very special little limited edition sticker for joining. So, and there's all kinds of other perks and benefits on there too. So check it out, join for free. And once you join, we will add you to the shout out, the Patreon shout out screen that we do here each and every single week. So, all right, Amanda.
Yes.
Last song.
Yes.
Last song of the day. Your last song to me was Leave the Pieces
by a banger.
The Wreckers off of Stand Still and Look Pretty.
Short-lived Wreckers. Let's just...
Yeah, they kind of
got wrecked.
They kind of came and went. I don't really know the song, but I knew the name of the band.
Okay.
And really, honestly, because of Michelle Branch. I knew Michelle Branch. I didn't know who the other person in the band was until I just did the research and I was like, oh, okay. So listen, the Wreckers were an American country duo formed in 2005 by Michelle Branch and Jessica Harp. Yeah. Both who had great solo careers before they joined forces. In 2006, they released their debut record, Stand Still, Look Pretty, and produced a number one single on the Billboard Hot Country charts, its lead off single, Leave the Pieces. The album accounted for a top 10 hit on the same chart with My Oh My as well. And after release, both Branch and Harp returned to both solo singing careers. And Harp since then has enjoyed top 40 country success with her own single, Boy Like Me. Coming off of Wikipedia, by the way, which I think is pretty accurate because that seems to track with everything else I looked at. Yeah. So, but yeah, the record is very, they kind of flamed in and burnt out fast, but they definitely left behind some good tunes. I will say,
good nuggets, yeah.
Yeah, I will say out of all the songs you sent me, this is definitely my favorite.
Okay. That the songs makes this sense.
Week. Of the songs this week. I really liked this song a lot. And I actually was like, man, I should actually check out this full record. Because I do like Michelle Branch. I think she's a great music. I think she's a good artist. And she's great voice. And I thought that this song was pretty good, man. I was really digging this one. I was kind of grooving to this one. I'd say even of all the songs, this is definitely one I probably listened to the most. Like, I would be like, oh, let me hear it again. Sure. Let me hear it again. Sure. So I thought this was pretty cool. So let's play a little bit of the Wreckers here with the tune Leave the Pieces. Leave them.
Leave them when you go.
Let's check this out. Here we go.
Well, you're not sure that you love me, but you're not sure enough to let me go. Baby, it ain't fair, you know, to just keep me hanging around. You say you don't wanna hurt me, don't wanna see my tears, so why are you still standing here just watching me drown? And it's alright, yeah, I'll be fine, don't worry about this heart of mine. Just take your love and hit the road.
Hit the road,
hit the road.
There's nothing you can do or say, you're gonna break my heart.
So, I'll save my comments.
Maybe you can make it quick. Really get it over with and just let me move on. Don't concern yourself with this mess you left for me. I can clean it up, see, just as long as you're gone. And it's all right, yeah, I'll be fine. Don't worry about this heart of mine. Just take your love and hit the road.
Good battle.
Good tune, man. Good tune. So what I was going to say about this song is a few notes that I have. So one is that I'd say that this song, if this was released back in the, like, I'd say like the late 80s, like the heyday of quote unquote glam metal, hard rock, this easily could have been like in Every Rose Has Its Thorn, or even this even reminds me a lot of like Bon Jovi's Wanted Dead or Alive. Like, there's a lot of great elements to this song that could easily have been taken as a hair metalish, you know, pop rock song. I think if you took and you less countryfied it, the root of this song could have easily had been like a hard rock,
like that ballad hit,
like by like any of those bands. I really do. But I like it. So you can hear that there's a lot of great pop sensibility with this song. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, the country twang is there, but you can really hear the foundation of the song. Super catchy, great bridge, awesome chorus. I really like this one. It is a banger of a song. And by the way, I'm going to say, Taylor Swift wishes she could write a song as good as this song.
Ooh.
This, 100%. This is definitely a song that, you know, it's a good tune, man. I liked it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I had never heard it before. So it was my first time hearing it. So it hit me. This is my favorite song off your playlist to me.
Very good.
I would not skip this. I would choose the playlist. I would put it on a playlist.
That's exciting.
I am not skipping this song. I don't know if it's not Eternity playlist material, but I definitely really enjoyed it. I wouldn't skip it, and I think I would choose to play it.
So it earned its place on the hit chart.
Yes. It definitely earned its place on the hit chart. So that being said, my record rating on this song by the Wreckers with Leave the Pieces, I'm squarely putting it at a 4.3.
Okay.
4.3 records.
That's
for me.
Good.
But records for the Wreckers. 4.3 records. Oh, it's a good song, man. It's definitely a great ditty. It's fun. I do want to listen to the rest of this record because I think the two of them together sound really good. And I like, too, that it's in a tradition of, like, you know, we talked, like, they got together, they're friends, they did this record, they made music together, and they both went back to their careers. And I think that's a very long tradition of, so you see it in country, you see it in rock, like, you know, you saw Jimmy Page and David Coverdale do a record together, even Plant and Page got back together, and you see that, where they kind of come together and, you know, do like a record or do some maybe songs together and then go back. And I think there's something to be said about it. Like, don't overstay your welcome. You got the songs you got. And if there's nothing more to really collaborate on, then that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like,
and there was a little, like, I don't think we really knew what the feud was, but there was something going on behind the scenes that for many years there wasn't really a friendship there. But I think it was in 2017 they joined themselves again, and Jessica joined Michelle on stage, as if I'm remembering correctly what I read. So it was a bummer when they broke up, because I just thought it was a really neat thing.
Yeah. Dave saying shot Taylor Swift beware. Yeah, shots fired. It is a great song.
Swifties are gonna come for you, Chris Baglio.
Listen, I think Taylor Swift is an amazing talent. However, I just feel like a lot of her stuff is boring and sounds all the same. That's me. That's my take.
I feel that about Meghan Trainor too.
So I mean, that's just kind of where I'm at with it. Like,
yeah.
You know, hey, whatever. She's making a gajillion dollars and I'm doing a podcast. So
that we're making a combined total because of our Patreons, $4.50.
Yeah.
No, and we've always said we appreciate her as a businesswoman.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never, I agree with you, Chris. I agree.
Just kind of where I'm at with it.
You are the winner of this episode of One Hit Wonder. Well done. You by far are the winner. So well done.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I think this was a good run of playlist songs. Mm-hmm. I had not heard, as I said, all three of your songs you shared with me. So I thought that was cool, exciting to listen to some of your music. And I would say at least two of those songs out of the three I really enjoyed, and I will be adding to playlists. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty good to discover some new music for me. And hopefully,
absolutely.
Even though you'd already heard Flagpole Sitta,
but you know what? It's a good playlist. In the Here in Your Bedroom, it's new and I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. I think the playlist pretty good this week.
So I would say, do the songs hold up? Yes, I'd say for me, they all hold up except for one, which is the Billy Gillum song, my own personal opinion. But you guys, you know, you guys watching, listening, you let us know what you think in the comments. We want to hear from you. What are your ratings? Do any of these songs hold up? Do none of them hold up? What songs should we have talked about? Let us know, because we can do that as a part two or part three. Well, this is part two, part three, part four. We'll do more of these.
We'll add it to the wheel.
If you guys like it, we'll keep doing more one hit wonder tunes for sure. So with all that being said, though, Amanda Sharp.
That's right.
What time is it, Amanda? Oh,
it is time to spin that wheel of show themes. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
That is a satisfying sound.
It's a satisfying sound.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
All right. What is going to be next week's theme here? So let's spin this dang wheel here and see what we got.
We never know.
Hopefully this theme's been taken off, but we'll see.
We'll spin again.
All right. Next week's song show theme is... Artist deep dive.
Interesting. So I guess, what does that mean to you, Chris Baglio?
So for me, I would say we pick one artist each and we pick three songs from that artist.
Like the deep cuts of that artist.
It could be
maybe
the deep cuts from that artist. Yeah. And we go, okay, here's the three songs we selected from this artist to sort of represent their body of work. And rate those songs on a scale of 1 to 5 records.
Ooh.
Yeah, Dave is saying, yeah. So three songs a piece from the same artist, mostly on cuts. Right. Yeah, I would say yes, Dave. I mean, I would say let's definitely try to stay away from the hits if we can, if that artist has had a hit song.
Yep, more of that deep. That
it doesn't always mean, though, that we've even heard that hit song. But I know for me, I'm going to try to go for some deeper cuts that I think are really good, solid songs from that artist. And it can be any artist, any genre. Whatever.
Man, I feel like Ian and Dave and Mar.
Be prepared for three men without hats and three demon quality dudes.
I'm not surprised that I was going to spin it exactly like that, going, I'm pretty sure our listeners are going to kind of guess who. There's a list of probably five I'm going to pick from.
Yeah, I got a feeling out of who you normally go to, but but I think they're going to be good because there's a really good chance I haven't heard those songs. And I know for me, you know, my head is swimming. So
I know my default wants to go straight to Elvis, but I don't know. There's chatter on our YouTube video about that Elvis, and there's some really good chatter. So I don't want to take away from that.
There is some good chatter on that one. But I would say, man, my head is swimming. I got to decide which way I'm going with this.
Ooh,
am I going heavy? People? Am I going classic rock? Am I gonna go punk? Oh man!
So there's like
ways I can go.
Yeah, there's two layers to this process of elimination. Now, first we got to choose the artist,
yeah,
and then we got a deep dive. So, it's gonna take me a couple days just to even choose my person.
So it's gonna be some research going on this episode for sure. So, everybody, stay tuned. Next week's episode is gonna be a banger. And of course, we always want to hear from you guys too. Yeah. What artists should we explore? What would be a good deep dive artist for us, Amanda and I, to go look at? Or what are your suggestions? We'd love to hear from you because you never know. That may actually sway us which way we're going. We already know where Dave's going.
That's right.
Yeah.
There is never a conversation with Dave without that. Yeah. Men without hats.
Oh, and by the way, Ian checking in with Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift hasn't done a good song since she was a country artist, in my opinion.
You know, I feel like that's kind of when she lost me too, Ian. I feel like there was that. And I don't want to, like, guess, again, diminish what she's created because bravo. Yeah. But yeah, I just don't connect.
Yeah. Not your thing.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not your thing. All right. Well, hey, everybody. Great show today. Thank you all so much for joining us here today on another episode of Song Swap Show. I'll make sure you check back live next week as we do deep dive songs from an artist of our choosing. So one artist from each of us, three songs that we think would be great songs to share with each other from that artist. And then we will rate them on a scale of 1 to 5 records. We are super pumped for this one. Thank you guys for joining us today. If you are watching us on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button so that way you get notified every time we drop new episodes where we go live and we drop videos. Hit that little bell. If you're listening to the show on any podcast platform, well, hit that follow button. Same thing. So that way you get notified as we're always dropping episodes on there every week. And we also do little quick hits and things like that. So we try to keep up as current as possible. And of course, if you would like to you need more Song Swap Showdown in your life from Chris and that girl, join our Patreon. It's free to join, and then you can move into any membership level that you want, literally starting as low as $1. I highly recommend $1.50 because you get the free sticker and all and all that jazz. But you make the choice. But we love you. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for all of your support. Amanda, any final words before we wrap it up today?
This was a great show, and I'm really looking forward to next week's topic. I think it's going to be a banger.
A banger. All right, everyone. See you next week. Thank you.
Bye.